Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Now it's time for our Ask Me Anything segment, where we put your questions to people from interesting backgrounds or working in different careers. Now, David is CEO of Critical Emergency Medical Response. So what would you like to know about the emergency responses? Get your questions and your voice notes into us now, 087-1400-106. David, you're very welcome.
Thanks for having me in here, Anna. It's great to see you.
It's a fascinating and hugely important career. And unsurprisingly, there are so many questions, but just give us a sense of what Critical is, first of all.
Yeah, it's an emergency medical response charity. So what we do is we fill the minutes and seconds when someone's having an emergency, predominantly a pre-hospital emergency. So that's when you're ringing for an ambulance.
Yes.
Our volunteers fill the gaps, fill the minutes between the call being made and the ambulance arriving. So when someone has a problem, they're always going to dial 999 or 112.
Yeah.
NEOC, which is the Emergency Operations Centre based in Tala, they have a map of the whole country. They know where all the resources are, both of the National Ambulance Service and the voluntary services that are involved. So they know the clinical level of all of our volunteers. They know exactly where the volunteers are. And what they're doing is when that call is coming in, they're matching the call to what's required. So predominantly, we then get our volunteers get text messages or radio calls, and then we're dispatched within seconds of a call. In fact, there's been calls where the person has still been on the phone and our volunteers have turned up. So it's very much a community response to someone in their most difficult moment.
Of course, and it is your most, you know, vulnerable. I've had to ring an ambulance myself. It is such a scary time for anyone.
Oh,
and you're doing it for a loved one, which just compounds the, you know, anxiety that you're feeling at the time. So you're doing this in harmony with the official state emergency services.
Yeah, we work with the National Ambulance Service and all of their, you know, the paramedics, EMTs, advanced paramedics doing a fantastic job. But they can't be everywhere at that moment. So what our volunteers are doing within communities, they're filling those gaps. They're filling, you know, when you're having a cardiac arrest or a stroke, you know, they talk about, you know, the golden hour is the thing that gets spoken about. You have a golden hour. Well, we talk about magic minutes, like, because it really is the difference in minutes and seconds between a call being made and the appropriate help arriving for anyone who may need it. And we'd like to do more, you know, we'd like to do more.
Well, you're literally saving lives. So it's quite incredible what you're doing already. Let me get to the questions because there's a lot of them. We'll never get through them all. But Anthony has sent in this question, first of all.
Are there everyday things that people do that unintentionally put them in danger?
Are there everyday things that people do that unintentionally put them in danger? That's a very good question.
It is, isn't it?
I would say, well, I can talk. I'm not a medical expert. I should just say that. But what I would say is that anything can happen at any time. And I think that's the thing that I've learned being involved in this charity. You could be the fittest person in the world. You can run marathons and you could be someone that hasn't looked after themselves. And at any moment, through no fault of anyone's, something might happen. And that's not said to scare anyone, but what it is said to say is that the difference between life and death is a matter of seconds.
Time.
And time and luck or unlucky, if you like. So I've been in calls where someone has been not feeling very well and the next minute they're having a cardiac arrest. And it's as quick as clicking a finger.
Okay. And as you say, it can happen to the most healthy.
It can it is.
Never know.
It's a lottery.
Yeah. Shane wants to know.
How do you stay calm and make decisions under extreme pressure?
That's a really good question. I'm a responder myself, a community responder. But we have doctors, paramedics, EMTs, ordinary members of the public who train. I think a lot of it comes through experience. A lot of it comes from your character. A lot of it comes from doing the training and applying the training that you do in that situation. So If you think of a pilot typically has a checklist. A pilot typically religiously goes through these things either in their head or on a piece of paper. Now, in an emergency situation, the piece of paper is probably more of a challenge. But through experience and knowledge and sticking to the checklist, you end up going down a route or a path that is what is appropriate for what it is that's in front of you. I think it's really difficult. I think anyone who does this thing, does the responding, they have to be, I think, maybe built in a certain way, if that's the right phrase.
Yeah.
Because it can get to you. And we take the mental health of our volunteers very, very seriously. And we try and look after that as best as we can. But there's no doubt about it. It's not for everyone.
No.
But I think our volunteers get some satisfaction, regardless of the outcome, of being there to help someone in their community at their most difficult time.
Of course. Ruth wants to know.
How do you choose which emergency is priority?
That's a good question. I think I may have answered that earlier on. So it's not really us that chooses. It's the what's called NEOC, the Emergency Operations Center. So they are triaging a call. So when a call, when someone's making a 999 call, they're listening to the information, they're asking questions, and they are going down a checklist as you're talking to them. And even within the call, they are dispatching the appropriate help at that moment. So it's they who decide what is going on and who gets to go to what.
Okay. They have to make priorities. Of course they do. Rory sent in this question.
Hi, David. Just wondering, what was one of the worst accidents you or your team have seen? Thanks.
This is not going to be an easy answer, is it?
Well, not really. I think, you know, defining worst is quite difficult because for anyone having a problem, that's literally the worst thing that's ever happened to them at that point. I think in terms of, if you want to talk about maybe mass casualty events types of calls, certainly me personally, when I was working in the UK, I was a member of the Red Cross Emergency Fire and Support Service, and I attended Grenfell Tower on the day that that tragedy happened, and I was there pretty much for 14 hours on that day. That's probably the single most tragic and hardest event I've ever been involved with. I don't think that will ever disappear from my memory. I think from our volunteers, and that's not disrespecting anyone's individual scenario, I know that we have a, you know, we have great doctors that volunteer with us as well. One of those doctors was up in Donegal and he attended the tragedy in Creeslaw.
But David, that's not a one-off incident. That's, as you say, 14 hours.
Yeah.
Of you being invested in this horrific unfolding, which just seemed to go on for so long.
Yeah, yeah. And for me, you know, don't get me wrong, I wasn't fighting the fire. I was supporting, you know, I was in a supporting role there, both with firefighters, setting up rest areas, looking after people who were displaced from that scenario, and chaotic, very emotional, highly charged. Every single human emotion you can probably imagine on display. But in a strange way, it was a privilege to have been there to at least try and offer some kind of help in someone's most very difficult of situations.
Horrific. Yeah, absolutely horrific. Kira has sent in this question.
What is the most rewarding part of your work?
It's working for a charity. It's that's not always rewarding. It has its moments, but working for a charity and making a difference has always been, you know, it's always been part of my DNA, trying to do something positive. I think for on behalf of our volunteers, and I'd like to, if I can, Anna, just publicly acknowledge every single one of our volunteers. They are amazing people. At 3 o'clock in the morning when we're all sleeping, they're out doing their thing, helping people. And I think they, speaking on behalf of them, I think what rewards them is being able to make that positive contribution within their communities. Like my mother and father from Ireland, my mother's from West Clare, and big shout out to Kathleen and all listening in Nina Community Nursing Unit today. I've got you an extra 20 listeners. Not that you need you're very
brilliant.
Popular, but they're all there listening. But you know, she came from the rural west of Ireland and she went to England. And when she came back, one of her worries was she going to be close enough to a hospital in her older age if she needed life-saving care? And I think there's a lot of people in Ireland that are actually thinking that way. They may not express it, but I think secretly they're thinking, if I ring, am I going to get to where
I need
to get?
How long is it going to take? So you have that real-life example.
Absolutely. And it's very much in the back of my head when we're looking at setting up community first responder groups, which we do. You know, we've got great groups all over the country. We've got off-duty responders who are volunteers of the National Ambulance Service who not only do the job during the day in the ambulance, but then they want to volunteer with us out of hours
afterwards,
and we give them a life-saving bag which has defibrillators in and all sorts of stuff, and they're going again when they're actually on their downtime. So this is what I think when we look at our healthcare workers here in Ireland, you know, when we talk about how hard they work, my God, they work hard.
It's a special kind of person, without a doubt. We have one final question here. Well, we have lots more, but we have time for one more. Graham sent in this question.
Is there emergencies that you most commonly respond to?
Absolutely, Graham. So we are drawn directly to cardiac arrests, strokes, choking, chest pain, road traffic collisions. They are the most serious of situations are where our volunteers get tasked to go to on behalf of the ambulance service. And, you know, to date, we've been tasked 1,670 times this year. Last year, 1,308 times. So we're already exceeding where we were last year. So a service is called for, needed. We could do it 10 times over. If I can just say, Anna, we get no direct funding from the government. I've been trying to secure a meeting with the Minister of Health since February of this year, unsuccessfully. In other countries, these sorts of organizations are dual funded. We're not asking for a handout. We're just asking for something to enable us to sustain our services and grow them into the future.
Acknowledgement for the wonderful work that you do. David is CEO, David Tai, of Critical Emergency Medical Response. You are doing wonderful work, to you and all of the volunteers. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Anna.
For the wonderful work you do. A pleasure talking to you today.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.